We are in Job chapter 3. As we continue the study of Job, we left Job sitting there with his friends in silence for 7 days. They saw that his grief was very great. What a great time to sing this song, right? I need thee, Lord, I need thee. I need thee every hour. And so thank you for that, because we're going to get into Job's complaint here and some of the things that he talks about. This chapter is quite an intense chapter, all right? Because now we get to actually hear from the man really in depth after everything is kind of settled in, both, if you will, in a sense of possessions, including his children, but also personally or physically with his own health. And all that has gone on between his wife and conversation, etc. But now we get to see that. So please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we're just going to bring up a few things tonight and then just leave us with something practical for us to take with us concerning this passage of Scripture. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently here in Job chapter 3. After this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man-child conceived. Let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Or why did the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. Now, as we've learned, we believe Job to be an upright man, right? He's retained his integrity. If you will, just by definition, he's remained whole. Okay? He hasn't stopped being Job. He hasn't given up anything in his life. He's maintained who God said he was. He was a perfect, right, man. He was just. He was upright. He feared God and he eschewed evil. That's who Job was and still who Job is. Now, let me just say this to you tonight. Just because you're complete, right, you retain your integrity, you stay firm on who and what you say you are, doesn't mean that you can't get frustrated. Doesn't mean that you can't get upset. Doesn't mean that you can't let things overwhelm you, if you will. It doesn't mean that at all. Because even in this complaint, that was, as we read through chapter 3, he does curse the day of his birth. He does talk about how, if you will, he wishes he would never have been born. But still, he doesn't blame God. Just read through it. You'll see he doesn't blame God. He just says, God, I wish that I would have never have gone through this. That's what he wishes. He just wishes that, hey, if I'd have just died in the womb, I wouldn't have had to experience any of this. I wouldn't have had to go through this grief. I wouldn't have to go through this sorrow. I wouldn't have to go through this pain. I wouldn't have to go through all these things. But God, it would just be better if the day that I was born would have never have come. Now, by the way, just because he feels that way doesn't mean he doesn't trust God to bring him out of it, because that's different. You understand, going through it is the hard part. Experiencing those emotions is the hard part. I haven't experienced, if you will, too much as compared to others, okay? As far as bad things. But my time's still coming, and I'm pretty confident of that. Why? Because it happens. And I know there are many of you out there in these pews that have experienced far worse things than I've experienced. Okay? And listen, they're tough, and they are hard. And you have probably maybe had some feelings like Job has had here. Because there are times where it gets that bad. And I'm just trying to tell you something that God understands. God knows. Can I tell you that when God told Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" that he knew Job would be brought to this point. That he knew Job sitting there in silence. And by the way, right now the friends are being good friends. We talked about that last time. How they're sitting with him. They see his grief. They're embracing him, if you will. They're allowing him to grieve. They're not, you know, interfering. We'll get to that in chapter 4 when Eliphaz speaks up. But for right now, they're being model friends. And they're allowing this man to grieve. And by the way, right here, they allow him to speak and to get this thing off his chest. Because he's really feeling this. Now, I want you to understand that he has these human feelings, which are very normal. The problem is that when we do get to this place in our life, that we stay this way. That's the difficulty. That's what we need to watch out for. Because you know what? We can get to a place where we feel this way, and then we don't, at the end of it, say, "But God." See, that's the key. See, eventually, now it takes Job and his friends quite a while to get to that place. Like 40 chapters. But they get there. And by the way, I don't know how long 40 chapters takes as far as days, months, and years. You know, it does, probably not years, but probably days, maybe. But here's the thing. They do get to that place, but we have great examples in the Bible of other gentlemen and other people that had very similar thoughts and very similar experiences. But they always mention how much God means to them in these times. And that's what's important to remember. So I'm just going to read through a few of these things, and I want you to understand. And we're going to make some links here to different scriptures and different examples. But I want you to realize that Job, if you will, he's cursing his day because he is so grieved, he is so hurt, that he just wishes he wouldn't have had to experience any of this. That's all. He doesn't hate God. He doesn't hate his wife. He doesn't hate anything. He just wishes that, "God, if I wouldn't exist, then I wouldn't have to feel this way. I wouldn't have to go through these emotions." So Job speaks and he says, "Let the day perish where I was born. Let the night, which was said, there's a man-child conceived, let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let the darkness in the shadow." So he just wants it to not be seen. That's what the darkness represents. Right? He just says, "God, just ignore the fact that I ever existed. I just want it to be veiled in darkness. I just want it to be dark. I want even the stars, the twilight, stars of the twilight, let them be dark. If they're looking for light, let them have no light. There shouldn't be a dawning of the day." All these things, he just says, I just want it erased.
I just want it gone. You ever get to that place in your life where you just have those sorrows and you have those difficulties? Now, Job doesn't get to this point here in this chapter. He gets to the end and he leaves off speaking in verse 26. And we're going to go through probably verses 12 to 26 next time. But he doesn't yet acknowledge that God is his strength and his hope. But he will. I promise you that, okay? He will get to that. But and Eliphaz comes in and he talks about it. But as we just talk about our lives and what this means for us, it's not wrong to be upset, to be frustrated, to be overwhelmed by the sorrows and by the difficulties of life. But it is wrong for us to stay that way, to give up hope completely. You see, you can say, I've had enough, right? And you can say, boy, I cursed the day that I was born. You may be driven to that much grief and that much sorrow to say something like that. But let me tell you something. Don't let it end there. You see, there's a guy named Moses in the Old Testament. Did Moses go through some very difficult things? Did he go through some things that were probably things that you wouldn't wish anybody to have to go through? Right? Absolutely. But did Moses give up on God? No, he didn't. How about Joshua? Did Joshua go through some difficult things in his life? I mean, how would you like to be the leader of 3 million complaining people? No thanks. Right? I mean, I'm the leader of 15 complaining people. And that's enough for me, you know. And I'm one of the complaining people. Okay. It's tough. But he didn't give up on God. Elijah? You say, well, yeah, Elijah gave up on God. Well, maybe during little points of... And all these guys had weak moments, just like Job has here. But in the end, Elijah did okay. How about David? Oh boy. Just go through the Psalms and read all the ups and downs that this man had. You talk about a roller coaster. I mean, it's probably the one that has the curly cues and everything, you know. And go into the dark tunnel and, you know, up and out of it and whatever. Upside down, sideways, upside, you know, flipped over and all that. And you know what? A lot of these guys even said things like, Lord, take away my life. Lord, kill me. Lord, it would have been better if I hadn't been born. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 15, he said, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth! Exclamation point. That study may still be coming. I'm not sure yet. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. You know, Jeremiah was one of the most maligned prophets that the country of Israel ever had. Just terrible. They threw him in a pit and just let him soak in the pit for a long time. I don't remember how long it is, but a long time. Jeremiah 20, he said, cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man-child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at noontide. I had to flip the page. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my days should be consumed with shame. Does that sound a lot like what Job was saying? Absolutely. But you know what? Jeremiah ended up relying on God. David ended up relying on God. Moses ended up relying on God. Elijah ended up relying on God. Job in his prosperity, he had a time of blessing and protection, but this grief was unbearable. And by the way, I want you to understand that he didn't blame God for what had happened. He retained his integrity once again. It's possible that we can go through these difficult times and still rely on God. We must. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 6, if you would. If we consider the iniquity in which we were conceived and born, we have reason enough to reflect with sorrow and shame upon the day of our birth. You understand that in Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools in the house of mirth. It's just interesting how Solomon understood all these things. And by the way, he, as to date, if you will, is the wisest human being to ever have lived. And of course, Jesus doesn't count, right? Because he's God and man at the same time. Now, over in Romans 6, Paul writes and says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you understand that this thing, as Job curses his birth and wishes that this day had been veiled in darkness and had never existed, you have to understand that we have a life to live for Christ, no matter how difficult it might be. Job had a life to live for God, no matter how difficult it was. And although we may have that sentiment and that feeling, understand all that Jesus suffered and went through. Right? Did he not go through everything that we could possibly go through? He did. You say, but he's God. Well, yeah, he did it so he could understand where we're coming from, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing. So to realize that once we have these sentiments, we need to cast them off and embrace Christ. That's what we need to do. As we feel this way and we have these sentiments, I can't tell you why things are happening in your life. Sometimes they happen just because. And that's the most difficult one to explain. Because you can't explain it. The easy ones to explain are judgments, you know, a result of my choices. Those are the easy ones to explain. I did this, so I'm receiving this. Okay, that's understandable, right? But it's the ones that just kind of come out of the blue, kind of like Job here, right? And Those are impossible to explain. By the way, there are chapter after chapter of chapter of possible explanations by his friends and possible explanations by Job himself. And they all got it wrong. Nobody guessed that God wanted to put this in Job's life for God's glory. Nobody guessed that. They all missed the prize. They didn't guess correctly. So we have to realize that when we go through these times, we need to hang on to Jesus Christ. If we are truly dead, right, with him, we're also alive with him. We have a special relationship with Jesus Christ because he's our Savior. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we've got to hang on to that. You understand that there are some who didn't have this peace in their life, like a Moses or a Joshua or Elijah or you or I or Job. Remember a guy named Judas? That one called Iscariot? Okay? I don't know who you read after or who you have read about studying Judas, but I'm going to tell you that Judas wasn't saved. Okay, that's what I believe. I guess I can go so far as to say that's my opinion, okay? There are some that may question that, but I think it's pretty clear that he wasn't. He's called the son of perdition, etc. But let me just say this, and I want to read to you this passage out of Matthew 26 at the Lord's Supper, if you will. He said, as they did eat, he said, that's Jesus, of course, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. And then Jesus says this statement. And I don't know if any of you have ever had trouble with this statement. I've always thought this is a difficult statement to understand. But he makes a statement about Judas. He says, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. Isn't that curious? Did anybody else find that extremely curious passage of Scripture? I do, just because, I mean, that's Jesus saying that, you know? And the Bible tells us that he wishes that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. By the way, he wanted Judas to be saved. Judas just chose not to. But I want to tell you that, what a statement. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Now, I just want you to think about this for just a second. How could that not affect Judas going forward? I mean, Jesus just told him in his own ears, it's better that you had not been born. Wow. And that didn't sway him from betraying the Lord? I mean, isn't that crazy? That's just mind-boggling to me. Anyways, but all I'm trying to say with that is here's a situation where someone feels, if you will, or as Jesus mentioned it, as a matter of going down in history as the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, it'd be better for him not to have been born. But that's how Job felt. He's like, I just, because of all I've experienced, I just would rather have not even been here at all. And maybe you felt that way at some point in your life. Satan's plagues had caused Job to curse the day of his birth. Job did not curse God. Although he was tired of his life, he was not tired of his God. You understand that we can have that kind of hope in our lives. Turn to Psalm 121, if you would, please. Psalm 121. Life doesn't have to end like it did for Judas. You understand? Because when he had realized what he had done, he went and hung himself. Can I tell you something? Judas could have come to the Lord, and I think Jesus would have forgiven him. How many of you believe that? Anybody? I do. It's a whosoever will may come, right? After he took that money and he slung it in there and said, I don't want your money. And they said, well, we can't take it back. It's blood money. You know, it's funny how the Pharisees, they have morals when it's convenient for them to have morals, you know. Like, here, go betray Jesus. But no, we can't take the money back because it's blood money. Yeah, you gave it to him. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But you know, after he slung that money in there, he could have run into Jesus. He was in probably the same house, or, you know, whenever he came, maybe he was on his way to Herod's or back and forth. I don't know. But he didn't have to go out and hang himself because of his sorrow and his grief. He could have turned to Jesus in his sorrow and his grief. Right there in Psalm 121, here's what David writes. By the way, this is one of the moments where David was down, but he keeps his hope in the Lord. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. We've got to keep that light in our lives. What is Jesus called? The light. He's the light of the world, right? And by the way, what is Job in his despair and his despondency asking for? Darkness. In our despair and despondency, what should we be asking for? The light. The light. And so we've got to keep our eyes focused on Christ. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes and says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know, in Job's musing, as he sat there for 7 days and his friends sat there for 7 days in silence, it would have been nice to see Job understand that he was an earthen vessel and that the excellency of God could show mighty in his circumstance. But you know what? Job's human. How many of you, don't raise your hand, but how many of you, during your greatest difficulty that you've experienced to date, you realized immediately that you were but clay and that you were going through this for the excellency of the glory of God? Probably not. Probably not. But we can. And if we don't realize it at first, the sooner we come around to it, the better off we're going to be. By the way, the book of Job, I guess, could have been a lot shorter if after these 6 days, Job would have realized that. Right? We wouldn't have this discourse back and forth about this if Job would have just spoke up and said, you know what? I'm just a clay vessel, and I'm going through this for the glory of God, and to God be the glory. God would have restored him, and his friends wouldn't have to be prayed for and forgiven, etc. We wouldn't have the book of Job. But we can go through this realizing that the excellency of the power of God may be, or that power may be of God and not of us. Let me go on what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians. He says, we are troubled on every side. Now listen, this is to be encouraging to you. Was Job troubled on every side? Yes, he was. But was he distressed? Yes, he was. So Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now, I'm going to encourage you. I don't have time tonight. I'm out of time anyways. I'm still on Illinois time. It's the same time as here. Where was I? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I was going to tell you, look it up yourself, these words. We are perplexed. We used to tease Della. Where's Della? Is she here? Where's Del? Hey, Del. Show me perplexed. Are you perplexed? She won't do it now. We used to teach her all these little faces that she would, you know, happy, sad, perplexed. Whatever. But we're perplexed. But he says, but not in despair, Paul says. He said, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, maybe Job would have benefited from Paul's writings here, going through what he was going through. And you understand that he says this, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. He says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, I love how he says it's light affliction. Troubled on every side, perplexed, persecuted, cast down, you know, light affliction. He says, but which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's the encouragement that I want to leave with you tonight. You may be troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You may be perplexed, but not in despair. You may be persecuted, but not forsaken. You may be cast down, but not destroyed. Why? Because of Jesus. Because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to try to discount the trouble that you're going through. I'm not going to try to discount what you've experienced, the sorrow, the grief, the unbearable losses, all the things that I'm not going to try to just discount what Job went through. But I'm just saying that Christ is greater than that. He's greater. And he can help you through those times if we'll remember our God. And that's the thing we have to do. Unfortunately, here in chapter 3, Job didn't remember how great God was in his life. And how much God had actually protected him from. He didn't realize it at that particular moment. He was just down. And sometimes we get that way. But don't stay there. Don't stay there.